The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Would you pray with me and for me now? Heavenly Father, I am yours. Holy Spirit, use me however you want this day. Lord Jesus Christ, may you be seen and not me. Heavenly Father, I'm your shepherd in this place. And that ain't much, but I'm yours. So would you fill me now, Holy Spirit, with what you want me to say and how you want me to say it? Because I believe you want me to. And I pray this day, Holy Spirit, that you would fall in force and in fire on this place. And Lord, I pray that you would impart upon this congregation just even a little bit of the passion and fire that I feel for what you're calling us to do here this day. Let it not be my passion and fire, Lord, but yours. And I pray, Lord, that today would be an Ebenezer Stone day, that we'll put down a marker and say, this day we made an important decision, this day we looked at some important things, and this day we set our face toward even more ministry and power as a congregation in you, Lord Jesus Christ. You built this church, Lord Jesus. You started it. You have built it. You have loved it. You have nurtured it, and we will be faithful with it. So come, Holy Spirit, promise of the Father. Come, Holy Spirit, touch me and my brother. Let your sweet fragrance fall. Cover us, perfume us all. Holy Spirit, we now wait on thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everybody gave me a good amen. I want to tell you that I'm fired up today. I am fired up. And there are two or three reasons for that. One of them is absence makes the heart grow fonder. I was just away from you for a week. And when I am away from you, my heart inclines toward you. I miss you. I love you. Can't wait to be back with you. I feel like Terry does when she says, I'm just so proud to be a part of a congregation like this. Beloved, I'm thrilled to be a part of a congregation like this. I hope, I pray that you understand how marvelous Epiclesis is. More importantly than that, what God is doing here in this part of the body of Christ. I hope you get it. I'm not sure you do, but I hope you do. Because when I travel, I hear people say to me, hey, how's Epiclesis? Thank you for what you're doing there. You all are on the cutting edge. We're watching you. We appreciate what you're doing. Do your people know how special Epiclesis is? These kinds of themes percolate every time I leave town. So I come back to you today with renewed energy and more than a little bit of fire and passion. Is that okay? Amen. One more thing. Actually, there are about three of them. The second one is this. We're about to enter into our ninth year of ministry as a church. And it was almost exactly this time of year, in year one, that you called me to be your pastor. And I've been thinking for some weeks that I needed to bring to you just some from-the-heart stuff about how I feel like we're doing. And so with that said, I have to give you an apology. Because for several weeks now, I have been prompted, at least I think so, to put aside the lectionary for a week, which, you know, I get funny about that. But I think I've been prompted to put that aside and speak from the heart. So I apologize to you for not doing it sooner, but God's timing is always best anyway. Also, it's time for us to have an activity report, a report for the year, and we were supposed to have done that on the Stump the Band Sunday, but it just didn't feel right, and we lost some people along the way, so I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to prepare an extra snazzy activity report for the year, and over the last couple of weeks, I've been working on a 11-page, 12 counting the cover, activity report that tells you all the stuff that Epiclesis has been doing over the past year. It talks about facts and figures. It talks about nickels and noses. More importantly than that, it talks about ministry. And these are hot off the press, and they're available in the lobby on your way out. I want you to pick one up. I didn't want you to have it beforehand, though, because I didn't want you to fiddle with it while I was talking. I'm not so much about nickels and noses. You know that. But we do need to talk a little bit today about nickels and noses, because nickels and noses are one important lens through which you look at the church and see how things are going. It's not the most important one. In fact, today I'm going to draw some pretty strong lines of distinction between what we're doing and what other churches are doing. Because I told you a minute ago, a lot of churches place a lot of, I think, the wrong kind of emphasis on nickels and noses. So I'm going to talk about that in just a second. But I have another apology for you. And it's this. Because of my experience with previous pastors and churches, I've been really shy over the years about saying what my vision for the church is. Because I believe with all my heart that vision is the Holy Spirit's business. And when I see pastor search committees talk about we need to get somebody in here to bring us the vision, that really sets my flags off. Because I don't think any one person brings the vision. I think the Holy Spirit brings the vision, and it's the job of all of us together to see what God is doing and where He wants us to go. Can I get an amen up in here this morning? I don't see anything on your faces. I'm wondering, am I connecting with you? Okay. A little nod every now and then would really, really help me. But I also realized that in taking that ostensibly righteous approach, I have also kind of shirked and stepped back from an important responsibility that I have. And that is this. You godly people deserve and need for your lead pastor to say what he thinks God is doing in our church. You need that. You deserve that. And so I've been a little derelict in that duty. So today, as much as I can, I'm going to give you with some passion what I think we're doing well as a church and what we ought to be doing. Is that okay? I told you in the little prep email that I was fired up and I was passionate. Beloved, I believe in what we're doing here as a church. I believe it with every fiber of my being and my heart. I believe in what we're doing here. And when I see the way you minister to people who are sick or needy or homeless or in need of cheering up or in grief, I tell you, my heart sings because I have been in churches that didn't care. I've been in churches where the pastor shows up and says, I'll not do any weddings. I'll not do any funerals. I'll not do any hospital visits. I'll not do any pastoral visits because I'm the teaching pastor. And I tell you, I don't think there's anything biblical about that at all. Can I get an amen up in here this morning? I have been called to love and shepherd you. By the way, I've not been called, I'm getting goosebumps. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It ain't me. I have not been called to be your pastoral Google. I've not been called to be the answer guy. I've not been called to be the keeper of biblical trivia. That's not why I'm here. I'm here to love you and shepherd you and be as Christ to you and to help us all together figure out which way the spiritual wind is blowing and point our sails in that direction so that the Holy Spirit can do the visioning and the directioning. That's what my heart says. I hope you feel that way too. If you want a church where the pastor is the answer guy, you need to go somewhere else because I don't have all the answers. Please go somewhere else. I don't have it. But together we can figure it out. And with this dear and godly group of elders that you had that Doug was bragging on just a few minutes ago, you can be sure that this church is being guided by godly, good people you can trust. Amen? Something about nickels and noses. I have also, and another apology, I have to admit to you that when Epiclesis was first coming off the ground and building, I was a little gun-shy because I had been badly hurt by my previous church and the administration that had taken over. And so I got to admit to you, it was okay with me for a while to kind of just fly under the radar. And what we developed here with God's help was beautiful and comfortable, and I was content. Maybe that describes some of you all too. I hear you talk all the time about how beautiful it is, the thing that God has done here. I hear you talk all the time about how comfortable, in the best sense of the word, but also challenging, all of those things, and that you are content and at home here, I guess is what I'm trying to say. But beloved, if you are at home and content and proud of what God is doing here, then you must leave this place on a Sunday and you must go and gossip the gospel out there. How selfish of us if we kept this thing to ourselves. Shame on us if we would do that. There are a lot of people in Sacramento who aren't going anywhere this morning other than someplace to fulfill themselves. I said earlier that somebody else's ability to worship may depend upon you being here. Have you ever thought about that? I used to say that in choir. Somebody would say, oh, I know all the notes. I don't need to come to rehearsal. And I thought, well, that's true. What do you say to somebody like that? And then I realized that a choir is best when there's more than one person there. And somebody else's ability to learn the music may depend upon you being there and knowing yours. Because you can't figure out, listen, he who has ears, let him hear. You can't figure out what the music's supposed to sound like unless you hear it in its fullness. When all the parts are working together and people understand what their note is supposed to be. I believe the same thing is to be said for church. You might not feel like coming to church on Sunday morning. I got to be honest with you, sometimes I don't. Is that okay with you if I'm just that honest? Sometimes I don't feel like it. I have an obligation to be here. Well, Pastor, you're the pastor. We pay you to be here. Hogwash. I'm here because I love you. I'm here because I need to hear your testimony. I'm here because I'm supposed to be something of a guide. God help me. I told Sheila on the way to church this morning, oh my gosh, I just realized something. She said, what? You know, she's fiddling with other stuff. She said, what? I said, I'm going to stand before the Lord one day and give an account for what I have done or not done with the church at Epiclesis. Wow. Beloved, that's a big responsibility. I asked Richard to find out for us what the average attendance was for the last year. It's 54. Occasionally we'll have a 75. Sometimes we'll have a 32. I'm delighted that we have 54. But beloved, that ain't good enough. Do you really believe that what God is doing here is important and special and unique? If you don't, you ought to. There's something wrong with your goosebumps. If you do believe it, then you need to get out there and you need to gossip the gospel and you need to bring somebody with you. Do you believe that God stands among us in the person and work of Jesus Christ when we come around the table of the Lord? Yes, Pastor Chris, we do. Then how dare us not go invite someone who needs him to be here? 54 ain't good enough. I love every single one of you. I'm grateful to God for you. But doggone it, I will stay here and I will preach the message that I think God has given me, no matter whether we're 54 or 504 or 5.4. But we got to get out there and we got to gossip the gospel. I'm going to show you a Bible verse in just a minute. So as I was thinking about these things, am I stepping on any toes? Actually, I don't care. Can I get an amen up in here about not caring? I also told you in the worship prep email that my blood is boiling. I am going to unapologetically champion what we're doing here in contrast to some junk that a friend of mine forwarded me from a church growth company. Do you realize that there are companies out there who purposefully exist to help churches who want to grow? Who have said that nickels and noses are the most important thing we do. How do we get fannies in seats? There's not just one company that does this. There's not just two companies that do this. There are multiple companies that do this. And for $99 a month, they'll give you all the surefire ways that you can double your church growth, double your attendance in 2 years. In fact, one of them is called 24todouble.com. I would tell you to go there, except it'll probably make you throw up. And when I heard these three top secret, surefire ways of growing a congregation, I almost got sick to my stomach. But I told you, I'm going to draw some sharp distinctions today, and I'm going to tell you that this is hogwash, and it won't happen on my watch. The church growth company, 24todouble.com, has three top ways for us to have more people in our church. Are you ready for them? Number one, the pastor must stop preaching what he thinks the church needs to hear and subscribe to our sermon service and preach our messages for 2 solid years. I want you to let that sink in. Some business in Topeka, Kansas, I don't know where they are, doesn't matter. I'm not picking on Kansas. Sheboygan, wherever that is, I don't know. Says, Pastor, you must abdicate your role, your prophetic, God-given, appointed role to open up God's word and apply it to the people in your congregation and preach our sermons for 2 years. Just let that sink in. Number two. Give over the content of your worship to not one, but 2 committees. One committee is responsible, get this, for the content of worship. I'm going to say that again. A committee, God help us, would be responsible for the content of worship. And the name of that committee is, I'm not making this up, Shock and Awe. Shock and Awe. So instead of the pastoral, godly musicians, whose holy task it is to carefully listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and craft liturgy that is idiomatic and purposefully designed for this part of the body of Christ, we're going to give that over to a committee, and they're called Shock and Awe, and their purpose is to make worship fun and relevant. The second committee is called the Wow Committee. And the WOW committee, I'm not making this up, is responsible for the worship space. So that when people walk into the worship space, they say, wow. That's the second of the surefire techniques to grow your church, to double it in 2 years' time. Here's the third one. This one really got my blood to boil. Get rid of the kids in your worship service. Take out the children. Provide another space and another place and another content for the kids to go. Take the kids out of the worship. Why? Because mom and dad really need a break from their kids. Mom and dad can worship better if the kids are somewhere else. And send them to another building. You've seen this in other churches. I know you have. In fact, it's the way to do it these days. Send the kids somewhere else so mom and dad can worship. I want to take each of those three and tell you in the name of Jesus, as long as I am pastor, this will never stand in this church. Can I get an amen up in here this morning? Item number one was subscribe to our sermons. Let me tell you what, that's going to appeal to a lot of pastors because they're busy. They're busy with stuff. And the idea that I don't have to prepare for a Sunday morning is very appealing to some pastors. It's appealing even to good pastors. But the problem with that is that I have been called, and though I have sometimes shirked my duties and I have been reluctant to take on the mantle, I'm here to say today that I'm rededicating myself and my pastoral ministry to the prophetic business of opening up God's word and saying what I think He wants us to hear in this part of the body of Christ. And I'm going to do so boldly, even though that's not my natural bent, and I'm going to do so unapologetically. Because of the notion that I would abdicate that role and give it to some company out of South Carolina is absolutely shocking to me. I cannot imagine doing such a thing. I was thinking of a passage in Acts. There never has been a perfect church, but this one comes really close. In Acts chapter 2, Peter does not abdicate his responsibility to preach the word to the people, to tell God's big story, and then let the chips fall where they will. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. God's word, God's big story. Peter being willing to tell it unapologetically. Listen to this. They devoted themselves, and this says something about us too. Because listen, in some ways, all of us are called to be pastors as well. because we're supposed to pastor one another in this part of the congregation. Remember what I said a minute ago about being content and at peace and enjoying what we have here? That's good, but it doesn't stop there. Listen, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. There it is, the teaching. Not some feel-good, consumeristic message from Dayton, Ohio. I keep changing the location. That plays into the very notion that I've got to make you happy in order to get you to show back up again. God help me. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. We've got that. And to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Beloved, we're doing that really well. Doesn't stop there. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Have you seen that in the context of Epiclesis? I didn't hear you. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. You are good at that, Epiclesis. On this weird state of the church, my passion, blood-boiling sermon, I want to tell you, we're good at that. I'm proud of you for that. It doesn't stop there, though. Listen, they broke bread in their homes and ate together. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They praised God and enjoyed the favor of all the people. Have you ever noticed that verse? It didn't stop with the joyous fellowship that they had at Epiclesis. They went out and they gossiped the gospel. They went out and they told God's big story. Listen, I'm passionate about this thing called ancient future faith. Why? Because it says we're going to tell God's story, not our story. It tells God's story, not Dayton, Ohio's 24todouble.com story. And we're going to tell it unapologetically here at this church. And you know what else? We're going to go out and we're going to gossip the gospel. I'm reaffirming my call to pastoring in this place today. I pray that you will too. I dare you to. I dare you to rededicate yourself to that mission. Shame on us if we got complacent with just enjoying what we have here. The second one was, give over the content of your worship to two committees. The shock and awe committee. Goodness gracious me. The shock and awe committee and the wow committee. I worked my whole ministerial life to try to help people understand that the role of the worship pastor is so important and vital and central to what we're doing as a church. Because lex orandi, lex credendi est. What does that say? That says the way we worship shapes what we believe. The way we worship shapes how we pray. The way we worship shapes how we live. And brothers and sisters, if that's true, and I believe that it is, then God help us if we give over the content of our worship to a committee whose purpose is to play into people's consumeristic needs. What kind of Christians are we making if we want people to walk into the room and say, wow, I'm passionate about ancient future worship, because it says that Jesus is at the center of what we're doing here in worship. It says that we can do nothing without you, Holy Spirit. We're waiting on you. It says that we will tell God's story in all of life, but especially when the church is gathered on Sunday morning. By the way, when the church gathers on Sunday morning, you ought to be here. If you're in town, you need to be in church. Ancient future faith says that worship will be Christocentric, that people whose calling and gifting it is to pastorally put together worship will put together the content of our worship and will let God worry about the shock and awe. If people come to Epiclesis and say, wow, I want it to be because the Holy Spirit moved them in that way, not because they saw some colored lights. God help us. There are a lot of Christians out there who are going to these churches whose worship is designed by committees who will fold up like an old wet shoe when persecution comes. One day I'm going to stand before God and I'm going to tell Him that I did the very best I can to prepare you to be salt and light in a world that is increasingly wicked and dark. I talked to a lady recently who had visited and worshiped with us for a while. She hasn't for a long time. And she said, Pastor Chris, I got to tell you, when it comes to worship, Epiclesis is the best worship in town, hands down. And I was thinking, okay, why aren't you there? And she said, but I can't come. It's too powerful. It's too powerful. I can't take it. I cry every time. I said, how is that a bad thing? And the way we set up our worship where we all look at each other in the eye, that's just too much. That's a hill I'm going to die on. Because the table will be at the center of this worship space, and we're going to help each other worship. We're going to watch each other worship. We're going to encourage each other to worship. And it's going to be shock and awe, but it won't be my doing. One beautiful thing that I want to share with you, one of the news nuggets that I want to share with you today, apart from this activity report that I hope that you'll look up in a few minutes, is that we have, and you already know this, but I'm sure you get it, we have the most marvelous, beautiful practitioner of worship right in our midst, and her name is Dr. Ellen Kohler. Beloved, if we did a nationwide search to find exactly the right worship pastor, we could do no better than Dr. Ellen Kohler. And God did that. He raised her up. She was one of the founding elders. Isn't that miraculous? This last Thursday night, the elders took the step of recognizing the pastoral work that she is already doing in crafting our worship by calling that title Pastor of Worship and Liturgy. Ellen, you have already been a pastor among us. It's official now. Thank you for being our pastor of worship. Thank you for being a pastoral musician. Thank you for being a worship pastor. Because that says, very importantly, that we're not going to let some committee design our worship and liturgy. And it's going to be crafted with care. Do you know the amount of time that she prays over and researches and works and works and hours and hours and hours and hours a week to what we experience here? Did you know that? It's marvelous. You ought to go share it with somebody. 54 ain't good enough. The third one was, get rid of the kids. If you want to double your church attendance, get rid of the kids. Now, they didn't say get rid of the kids, but that's in essence what they said. Ship the kids off to another program. Ship the kids off to another building. Have something else for them so mom and dad can worship and be by themselves. And that is so wrong on about 72 different levels. I don't have time to tell you all of them. But I heard somebody say on Facebook this week that when children go to public school, by the time they finish, they've undergone 25,000 hours of indoctrination by the public schools. And you expect that them coloring Noah's Ark for 20 minutes on Sunday morning is going to make a difference against all of that? If we don't teach our children how to worship, who's going to do it? A friend of mine said to me the other day that his daughter was talking about how she didn't go to seminary, but she knew something about the Bible. And I said to him, yes, she has gone to seminary. She's gone to the public university system. And you better believe that's a seminary. It's just not for our God. We have an obligation to teach our children how to worship. And one of the core principles of this church from the very beginning is that we're going to come heck or high water, and this is a hill we're going to die on, we're going to have the children with us in worship. I can't tell you how many people have told me that that's holding us back from growth. I can't tell you. It's too numerous to count. Get you a program for the kids. Take them out. You will grow. I don't care if we're 54, 504, or 5.4, but that's a hill I'm going to die on. Psalm 78 says, oh, my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, what we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children. We will tell the next generation. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power, and the wonders He has done. We're supposed to tell our children that. We're supposed to tell the next generation. We're supposed to teach our children how to worship. How are they going to do that unless they see us do it? I'm very excited to tell you that it was 1 year ago that we told the congregation that we were entering into a period of discernment about how to expand ministry. And there were two things on our mind. You might say that sometimes the wheels of progress turn slowly in church, but sometimes the Holy Spirit has His own timing for stuff. I don't try to figure it out. One of those things was, we want to find a space that we can do ministry in through the week. We're still working on that. Nothing seems to be percolating up. We'd like to rent some space. We'd like to be able to do kids' activities there. We'd like to do Bible studies. We'd like to have little groups get together. We'd like to do counseling there, maybe some social media and video stuff. We just haven't found the space yet. Help us pray about that. The other thing we said we wanted to do was expand ministry and add pastoral help to Epiclesis. The world says that you add a minister of children or minister of singles. The world says that you add an activities director. Beloved, I don't want to be Julie on the Love Boat. I used to do that. I used to do a lot of church activities. It's exhausting. And when it comes time to bring pastoral help on, I don't want them to be a minister of activities either. It's exhausting. But the ancient future approach says, among other things, that the whole congregation is going to disciple the whole congregation. It is a delight for me to tell you today that we have extended the invitation to Dr. Rick Ashe to be our pastor of intergenerational discipleship. He has said yes, and he will be joining us as a pastor of intergenerational discipleship. What does that mean? Stick around and find out. Because it's more than just ministering to the kids. It's more than just ministering to the singles. By the way, I had a luncheon with the singles. You know what they told me? We don't expect to be singled out. We don't expect to be catered to. We're just proud to be part of a congregation where the whole congregation disciples the whole congregation. I couldn't tell you how that made my heart sing. Beloved, Rick's going to start in October. I don't know how it's going to work, but he's excited about what we're doing here and throwing his shoulder and his family's shoulder to the wheel and joining what God is already doing here at Epiclesis. I'm so excited I can't see straight. Do we have the resources to do that? Yes. Do we have the resources to do that indefinitely if things stay the way they are right now? No, we don't. So I am challenging you this day to double, triple your passion for what God is doing in this place. I challenge you that if you're in town, you ought to be in church. I want to challenge you to read that marvelous activity report and marvel that a church that averages 54 on a Sunday is doing all that ministry and doing all that with all those resources. It's mind-blowing. But I also want to challenge you to give more generously, to dig more deeply, to live more passionately, to go and gossip the gospel. 54 ain't good enough. Can you imagine what we could do in this city with even more resources? Can you imagine what would happen in this city if we brought more people in to experience the amazing stuff that God is doing at Epiclesis? I'm fired up. And today, once again, I'm rededicating myself to be your pastor and your shepherd, not your Google guy, not your cruise director, not your keeper of biblical trivia, but your pastor who loves you and wants to challenge you, who wants to be challenged by you. I'm rededicating myself. And if you rededicate yourself to the same, I want you to get up out of your chair right now. I want you to join me around the table. And don't do it if you don't mean it. Let's rededicate ourselves to the Lord this morning. Join me at the table if you dare. Put a hand on a neighbor. Father, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will tell your story. I will not abdicate my responsibility before you to teach the word. We will not give over the content of our worship to some committee who wants to placate others. We will not dismiss the precious children from our congregation to enhance mom and dad's experience. Father, we rededicate ourselves with passion. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
To what you are doing here at Epiclesis. Lord, forgive us where and when we have been content or complacent. Lord, sometimes it's been okay with me to fly under the radar or just enjoy what we have here for us. I'm sorry. You've got bigger plans for us, Lord, than 54 on a Sunday morning. And yet, Lord, we will not worship nickels and noses in this place. And we will give sacrificially because it's our duty in worship to do so. And yes, we will devote ourselves to prayer and miraculous signs and wonders and healings and breaking of bread and ministering to one another. But Lord, we also rededicate ourselves to gossiping the gospel and going from this place with great joy to share what you are doing in this little marvelous, wonderful, growing place called Epiclesis. Lord, we give you thanks for our worship pastor. We give you thanks, Lord, for our coming pastor of intergenerational discipleship. Fire us up, Lord. We rededicate ourselves to you. If that is your prayer, beloved, would you say, yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
We love you, Lord, and we ask all of these things in the wonderful name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith community. If you'd like to learn more about Ancient Future Faith or worship with us at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.